Namaste and warm greetings to our listeners, and welcome to today's very special episode of the Radio and Youth Broadcast. I'm Jacqueline Leapy, one of the organizers of this podcast series from Assam, India. You might have heard me before in the very beginning of the Radio and Youth Broadcast. If not, please do go and check it out. I will be your main host in today's brand new episode of the Radio and Youth Broadcast, as Preeti is taking some time off from her work. I will also be joined today by my wonderful colleague Sonika from Kathmandu, Nepal, who will be again co-hosting in this broadcast platform. We will share this space as co-host for the entire episode. So, without further ado, let us begin our roller coaster ride into this new episode of our broadcast. Hi Sonika, how are you today?
Hi Jacqueline, I'm very good today. How about you?
I'm doing good, thank you so much. It's a bright sunny day for me today. I believe you have good weather there too, and a warm welcome to our podcast once again.
Yes, it's the end of winter and the beginning of summer here. So days are getting a bit warmer now. And thank you very much, dear Jacqueline, for inviting me to this special episode of the podcast. And hello and namaste to all our listeners. I'm Sonika Porel, back today in the co-host seat with my colleague Jacqueline, as mentioned by her earlier. And I think we can start now, Jacqueline, can we?
Absolutely, Sonika.
So, as Jacqueline said, today we are having a very special and important episode of the Radio and Youth Ray podcast on the topic Understanding the Biological Hazards. And this is the topic for our podcast today. Next in the series of the project Youth Leading Disaster Risk Reduction and Climate Action through Multimedia Advocacy, Resilience Now and Into the Future.
Thank you a million, Sonika, for being with me in the absence of Preeti today. Our valued listeners might already be accumulated with her podcast series by now, but let me take it again for all of your kind attention here. The series is initiated by Sendai Stakeholder Children and Youth Group and Major Group for Children and Youth, MGCY, powered and hosted by the Youth for Environment Education and Development Foundation, YPED, with the generous funding and support from the United Nations Office for Disaster Risk Reduction, UNDRR. Today, we will talk and shed the limelight on an interesting and important subject, but often not talked about, the issue of the biological hazard, causes of increased biological hazard, its mitigation and management, challenges, and lot more. Now, wrapping up my introduction to our topic for today and not keeping you guys waiting anymore, we move now to our topic of main discussion for today.
Yay, thanks a lot, Jacqueline, for beginning and introducing the topic for today to all. I'm really excited. So I quickly drive now to start our conversation for today with what are the biological hazards? And being a young expert on disaster risk reduction yourself, I would be really glad if you can explain to us what are the biological hazards according to you, or what do you understand about the biological hazards?
Sonika, surely it would be my privilege to tour my listeners to the important topic today. So, you know, biological public health hazards mainly include bacteria, viruses, parasites, or fungi. They can pose a threat to human health when they are inhaled,
Putin or come in contact with our skin. They can cause illness such as food poisoning, respiratory infection, or parasite infection. So let me tell you like few types of biological hazards: viruses, toxin from biological sources, fungi, pathogenic microorganisms, bioactive substances. So Sonika, in your perspective, what does biological hazard mean? What do you understand about biological hazard?
Thank you for the question, Jacqueline. I think a biological hazard, also known as a biohazard, it is a biological substance that poses a threat to the health of living organisms, especially the humans. And this could include a sample of microorganism, virus, or toxin, as you already mentioned, that can adversely affect the human health. A biohazard could also be a substance harmful to other animals as well. Having said that, Jacqueline, I have a question for you, which is, what do you think is the reason behind the increased risk of the biological hazards? Or what do you think are the contributing factors for increasing the risk of biological hazards?
Before coming to this podcast, I have been reading few articles, and according to an article in Science Direct, it is said that it is caused by the diversity of insect plagues and swarms, blooms of poisonous algae, direct animal threat, degradation of land, deforestation, desertification, and ecological impact of climate change. As we all know, the major problem in front of us is the climate change. The possible disruption of the biological communities of the planet upon which we, the humanity, depend absolutely for the continuation of its own existence are the most serious situation that can exert great control on future economics. Knowing more and reading more about it, I found that the nature of such biohazard is an obvious need in the community of experts concerned about hazards, risks, and disasters, but it has also had impact on the vulnerable communities and, the most importantly, impact on children and youth. Examples of biological disease hazards: seasonal and pandemic influenza, coronavirus, Ebola, severe acute respiratory syndrome, Middle East respiratory syndrome, tuberculosis, etc. And then the present global pandemic, COVID-19. These coronaviruses are zoonotic diseases and usually jump from wild animals to humans. As we are suffering from the COVID-19 global pandemic in its third year now, we all know how people are affected by it. And these infected diseases are caused by agents that are transmissible through one or more different routes, including the contact, droplet, airborne, or blood-borne route. The transmission of infectious agents through the blood-borne route, a specific substance of contact transmission. An effective infection control program normally relies upon a multi-layered and overlapping strategy of engineering, administrative, and work practice control and PPE. So Sonika, what do you think? Would you like to share your experiences of COVID-19 today?
Yes, Jacqueline, thank you for describing it so well. It was a really good information that you gave us. And regarding my experience of COVID-19, it is true that the communicable diseases are also one of the types of the biological hazards. And mostly it is with the coronaviruses that are causing time and again the problems to the human populations. And now the COVID-19 global pandemic, it is not an exception at all. And I am no different than others. And I think I speak for everyone in this world when I say that I had a quite hard time since coronavirus, the COVID-19 pandemic began at the end of 2020. I was in fact so scared in the beginning, and even I myself got infected in the early 2021 too. And it was a horrible experience for me because I had to stay in quarantine for 21 days. And the worst part about it was that there were no concrete medicines and vaccines developed and started to be used when I first got infected. And the virus really gave me a hard time to fully recover and get back to a healthy life again. So, but it's a very good news now that the vaccine is developed. But also in this year, in 2022, after 2 years of the beginning of the global pandemic, I think we still need to follow the public health protocols with the use of masks, strict sanitation practices, maintaining social distancing, and so on, to be safe and also the loved ones safe from the nasty new variant. So, Jacqueline, what do you think we can do to mitigate and manage the biological hazards? And why is it important to manage the biological hazards effectively, in your viewpoint?
So I quite relate to you on this, Sonikalo. Even I am affected by COVID few weeks back, and I have been quarantined for 30 days. So you know, COVID-19 has infected everyone. So in order to mitigate and manage the biological hazard, let me focus on the COVID-19 global pandemic. Countries have conducted interaction review, developed national action plans, enhanced health services and security, and emergency preparedness. You know, this section illustrates the use of evidence for planning. Countries also use evidence for decision making and to translate the information into evidence and knowledge to ensure health security. Countries have prioritized and has guided their resources to the most vulnerable. To ensure evidence-based decision-making and resource allocation leading to management of biological hazards, decision-makers use evidence-based scientific information on capacity building, vulnerability, and high priority threats. And to do that, to strengthen the application of evidence to decision making, the countries first transform the collected data into information and evidence for contributing to and supporting planning, selecting among competing choices, allocating resources, and ultimately our decision. So, a good information is always important, and translating into our evidence-based decision-making one way of managing the biological hazard.
Absolutely true, Jacqueline. I completely agree with you, and you have covered almost everything. And there's one more problem, or one more point that I would like to bring up here, which is the climate change. And as we all know that the 21st century has witnessed major epidemics, a pandemic, which is COVID-19 pandemic, and the return of the old diseases like cholera and plague. And such disease outbreaks have often been fueled by climate change and other factors like environmental degradation, rapid urbanization, and water scarcity. So the biological hazards are changing their behavior and growing in scale along with the climate change. So what do you think, Jacqueline, is the major challenge that you see in the management of biological hazards? Or what have you felt? What are the major obstacles that you see in the way of management of the biological hazards?
So, Nika, there comes the most important question from you. So I would like to highlight you. So the lack of planning or plan for the management of a pandemic of this scale, lack of health security preparedness by applying evidence-based information and action by everyone, and building functional, sustained capacity to prevent, detect, and respond to public health risks. Dissemination of correct information is what I see are the challenges during the management of biological hazards.
Yes, exactly. And currently there is also a lack of awareness that the global pandemic is still here. However, it has taken a backseat, and I see people not wearing masks, not taking any longer the precautions regarding the social distancing. And although we need to live in between the pandemics and continue our life in a new normal, it is still necessary to continue COVID-19 appropriate behavior. So we have discussed about the challenges. Now, what do you think, Jacqueline, should be the way forward for the safe and effective management of the biological hazards? Or what is the solution? What is to be done for the safe and effective management of the biological hazards? What do you think?
In this, Sonika, you have very rightly highlighted the prevalent appropriate behavior that we still need to follow, which is one way of effective management of biological hazard. Adding to you, so we need to develop a robust monitoring and evaluation framework and databases of relevant health and non-health data to generate and disseminate comprehensive, authoritative information and build an evidence base for investment in health security preparedness. I would like to highlight that we need to invest in the developing countries, especially in low-income countries, small island developing states, and least developed countries. So, Sonika, what is your thought on this?
Yes, you have brought some really important points there, and I also think that we should follow the country SOP and the transmission-based precautions and public health guidelines in order to prevent the infection. And the early identification and isolation of the sources of infectious agents, like the sick patients, and the proper personal hygiene, worker training, effective engineering and administrative controls, and the things like safer sanitary practices, including hand washing and use of sanitizers where hand washing is not available, and appropriate personal protective equipment, among other controls, can help reduce the risk of transmission of infections and new diseases. So these things sound small things to do, like they are minor things, and these things are neglected many times, but they are important to tackle hazards. And also, I think the community-based actions and primary healthcare are core to strengthen community and individual resilience to all types of emergencies.
Absolutely, Sonika. Community and the public health centers are the most important pillars. So I think we are over with a close interaction and discussion on today's very special episode on biological hazards now. Wow, what an insightful conversation we had today. So anything, Sonika, you would like to share at the end?
Yes, I absolutely agree with you. I had really good time talking to you, and I think we talked on a really important topic today. I think I would like to conclude everything by telling a quote. Is that okay?
Yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
I would like to conclude everything by saying that let's connect, engage and empower, and work in solidarity with everyone, and most importantly, in harmony with the nature. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining here with me, Sonika, and sharing your valuable time and words today.
All thanks goes to you, Jacqueline, for inviting me and providing me this wonderful opportunity to come in front of our listeners today once again. And our listeners are the core vision and supporters behind our podcast channel, and I am really super, super grateful to you.
So it's a wrap. So I strongly believe our listeners have enjoyed this special episode, as well as I have enjoyed speaking with you. It was really fun learning and exchanging about the biological hazards with you all throughout this episode of the podcast. I hope all our listeners have got connected to the topic of today by the end of this episode now. Please continue to stay safe and healthy. With this, it's an end of today's very special episode on understanding biological hazard. We will be back with our next episode in the series for you very shortly. Until the next time we meet, it's me, Jacqueline, your main host of our online series today, signing off from the podcast channel with love, peace and solidarity to all. And do keep listening to our radio and news broadcasts.